Hey, fighters, today I want to let you listen into a cool conversation I had with Taniela Fiafia. Found him on Instagram. A couple people recommended that we have a conversation. And I think you're going to dig it, especially if you're somebody that is frustrated with your lack of results from using social media to grow your business. So we dig into a lot of stuff. We dig into the fact that he grew to a couple million in revenue with his concrete company in just about 3 years. How in the first year or so, he was close to $500,000 in debt, almost went bankrupt. Talked about alcohol and ego and a bunch of other stuff. And we camped out for a while on really some just simple tactics that you can use to build your brand and not just get eyeballs, but actually cash checks from what you do on social media. So without further ado, here is my interview with Taniela. How you doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. We're out here hustling.
Out here hustling a little bit, you know, pouring slabs and all that good stuff, apparently. Creating social media posts, changing lives, leading the way for people. It's good to hear, man. I know we chatted a little before I hit record here, and you got kind of an interesting story. You've grown to a couple million bucks in 2 or 3 years in revenue. You almost went bankrupt. I think somewhere along the line, you sent me a message that you were like 500 grand in debt. Did I hear that right?
Oh yeah. We were so many mistakes, so many troubles. And yeah, it's a wild ride in business. No one ever talks about that. Everyone always talks about how much money they made. They never talk about how much money they lost. And it's a wild ride to get up there.
Yeah, that's right. And man, we just jumped off into the deep end of the pool here today, right out of the gate here. I want to get into a bunch of things here today. I'm really excited to have this conversation. How'd you end up here? Like, give us the backstory. What'd you do before you started a business? What made you start the concrete business? You know, I'm just curious.
Yeah. So the concrete business was actually my eighth business I started since I was 18. So every year since I graduated high school, I try to start a business. I always wanted to make wealth. Yeah, I wanted to build generational wealth, and I knew like I couldn't do that working for someone. So I tried so many businesses. They never panned out. And then it wasn't until I was working for a guy for a couple years, 2 years doing concrete. That's how I kind of got in the concrete game. I was like 23, 24. And then it wasn't until one point I actually didn't get paid. My paycheck bounced. He had gambling addictions and whatever else. So
right.
There was just one day it was like, me and 12 other guys, all of our paychecks bounced. And that was kind of the final straw of me finally putting my foot down that I'm not working for anyone. And so I actually, I just quit right then and there. We were out of town too. So I had no money. I slept in a Walmart parking lot.
Oh man.
And yeah, we were like 4 hours away from home because it was wintertime. So we were working out of town somewhere in a warmer climate in St. George, Utah. But that was kind of the thing that kind of finally instilled the confidence that I'm starting a business, I'm making it happen. I only knew how to do concrete at the time. So that's all I just pushed on doing and been going hard ever since.
What other businesses did you start? I'm curious.
Oh, laundromat, real estate investing, digital marketing, try to do personal training, like e-com, Amazon FBA.
Mm-hmm.
So many different things. Yeah. So that's anything underneath the sun. Yeah.
And so that's interesting because what I like about that, I had a conversation with one of my sons not too long ago. He's 24. And I just told him, I said, dude, you just got to throw shit against the wall. You know, just do something. Like, I think you get to a point where you find your thing and then it's, let's ride this horse, right? And this, we're all in with a certain business. And I believe until you're, you know, a million or two, you have no business starting another business, right? But I think in the beginning, when you're young, you don't have, you know, the responsibility of spouse and kids and things like that. This is the time to try shit. And so that's just what jumped out at me about that. What was it about concrete that made you stick with that?
It's just because my backup was against the wall. Because I had no money because I didn't get paid for the couple weeks. And then I only had a couple hundred to my name. And so all I had was literally just my tool bag. And so that's all I knew how to do. So I was just starting a concrete business. I was already kind of running the crews for the guy I was working for, even though I didn't know a whole lot of the trade per se. I understood like kind of how to deal with people, kind of more that side of the business versus knowing how to really finish the concrete and things like that. So I was kind of like managing all the guys. So I just thought if I could do it for him, why not do it for myself? Make more money. Yeah.
How'd you get your first job?
I believe it was either a flyer or Thumbtack. I don't remember if it was one of the two, but I was, I was trying everything at the time. So I was trying to do like flyers, you name it. But it was one of those two. And I definitely didn't make any money on it. I was Googling prices and then some, I just Googled concrete prices, how much to charge. And of course it's like national averages, whatever, 10, whatever the square footage was. So I just used that as my price and it was way off. I made no money, 100%.
Made no money. Yeah, it sounds like some of my first jobs had no idea what I was doing. And I think that's where a lot of people start. That's truthfully one of the biggest reasons we started the Contractor Fight many years ago is, you know, to be the educational force behind what contractors need to know and all that. So you, in your notes you sent to me, you mentioned about a half a million in debt. How did that happen?
The business grew far too quick. And there's, I guess there's not a issue with the business growing quick, but if I don't grow as fast as the business is, then it doesn't matter. Because by my second, third month in business, we were getting so many leads. I hired, it ended up being 8 guys, 10 guys, 12 guys by my like second, third month in business because we had so much work.
Yeah.
So I thought all you do is just close jobs, hire guys that have been doing it for 10 years, and then you just keep repeating. And I quickly learned, no, guys don't mix well together. And like, there's all these operations. It's like if labor goes over hours, you start losing money. So we were just doing so many jobs in just a short amount of time. We were pouring 4, 5, 6 jobs a week.
Yeah.
And then just going on to the next one. But a lot of the times I was not tracking anything. And so like, I didn't even know. I just saw money coming in and then money went out. And then all I kept doing was market and trying to land more jobs to fix it all. So the debt happened because we did so many jobs. A lot of them, I priced it wrong. Our labor went over hours. So we lost money that way. And then also a lot of the jobs got messed up. And so I have to go back and fix it.
Yeah.
And so many things on top of each other. And then also it would come into wintertime. I live in Utah and it's, we get a lot of snow.
Yeah.
And so then by the time it came into wintertime, I had all these bills I had to pay. I ended up pulling out these short-term loans, which was this ridiculous interest. It was, I pulled out like a $50K loan. I had to pay it back and it was either 6 or 9 months.
Yeah.
And so it was like every week it was pulling out 1 to 2K, whatever. And that's what kind of spiraled because so much money was coming out. So there were so many things. I was really good at bringing work in and closing jobs, but I was not good at managing. I did not know what I was doing. But I'm grateful that I went into that much debt. If I'm being fully transparent and honest, like I'm grateful for that much debt because I've always had goals that I want to achieve what it takes most people 20 years to achieve and achieve it in 2 years. So I have to also accept all the failures they go through in 20 years and condense it into 2 years. So I could not blame my circumstances. And it was all my fault. I can't blame the employees. I can't blame the market, whatever it is. It was all my fault that I put myself in that hole. And so I had to put myself in responsibility to get it out.
That's a great perspective. I often think one of the first jobs that I did in my painting business many years ago in the early 2000s, for me at the time, it was the biggest job I had ever sold. It was a $28,000 job. And I thought I was going to be rich. You know, like it was just that it was my first year of business. And I thought like, man, this is amazing. And that job was an absolute nightmare. It cost me 45 grand to do the job, and which I should have charged like 90 to 100 to do the job.
Oh, wow.
If, you know, we operate on a 50% gross profit that I didn't have that rule in place when I started. And I just didn't know my numbers, but I'm And that was a brutal time, man. I mean, this guy called me on Christmas morning to bitch me out at 7 a.m. I mean, it was a nightmare working for this guy. But I'll tell you what, it is the foundation of everything I now get to help hundreds of thousands of contractors with. You know what I mean? Because I went through those things and it contributed into who I am today. And that's what I heard from you. And I just think that's a healthy perspective to have. Like, you can't do anything about it now. You went through it, you made the choices, so you might as well, you know, do what you can to learn from it and turn it into a win. So, and here's the other thing, man. I mean, you did most companies, I think it's like 9% of small businesses ever do $1 million in revenue, you know, and you bang that out, you know, what, in your first year, year and a half or whatever it was, and then learned some tough lessons. And now you've turned it around and you're a couple million plus and your brother's running the company for you.
Yeah. And it was 1 million my first year, and it was all ego based, which is what also put me in the big hole, because my ego was just, I just want to hit seven figures. Six figures is too small. So all I was trying to do was just push, push, push. And I realized I didn't really have the, maybe I had the skills of marketing and sales to do that, but I didn't have like the leadership skills, the operational skills, how to train people. And that's what kind of messed me up. But yeah, that's what all I pushed. Yeah, now my brother runs, I'm not part of the business anymore. He runs the construction company. I just help him do the marketing now. But other than that, he's a badass.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good to hear, man. So you mentioned before to me that, I'll read what you wrote here. Alcohol and ego is what drove me to almost fail. You just touched on the ego a little bit. Let's talk about the alcohol. What was going on there, man? Some vices you had to deal with?
Oh yeah. It was, so I didn't really drink much beforehand, but when I started the business, the amount of stress I went through, and then that's what I fell to. I started drinking a lot. I was drinking 6 to 8 shots a day.
Okay.
It was insane. And because I went from just me, I don't have no wife, I have no kids.
Yeah.
So going from that to now having 12 families to feed every week, that was within. Yeah, we went from no employees to 12 in like a month. And so that's one thing. If anyone's ever starting a business, that's the biggest stress that I did not realize is having other families that are relying on you. But yeah, I use that as, that's, I guess, my excuse why I started drinking. And then I was drinking multiple times a day. Yeah, 2-3 shots in the morning, 2-3 shots for lunch, a couple more shots at night. And one thing just kept messing up after another, because then mentally I wasn't clear. Then I started gaining weight. And it got so bad, even to a point where there's one job. I was at a homeowner's house. He actually called the cops on me. I got a DUI for it. I still have a breathalyzer now for it. Because I showed up to his house, I was 1.9. I think the alcohol 2 is like where they truly suspend your license. But yeah, he called the cops on me because I was drunk on his job, of course, DUI, went to jail for a day. And I still kept battling that for a while until I finally had a mentor kind of just wake me up that, like, I got to get out of rock bottom. And I realized that that's a huge vice, not just alcohol, but weed and, well, vices in general in the blue collar industry. I was like, so many guys, they have a $10 million business right in front of them, but they're standing in their own way with these vices. Whether it's the drugs, the alcohol, or it's like these things, these mental barriers that are keeping them from trying to level up and succeed. And I realized that was mine. I was like, damn, if I can do 1 to 2 million as an alcoholic and like not even keeping my shit together, I can't imagine what I can do when I'm mentally clear, when I'm focused. So I got myself cleaned up. And yeah, and now I want to help others because like that's what kept me from trying to be successful.
Yeah. You know, and I think I grew up in a family of professional drinkers, you know, and they were all tradespeople. So it's just that stereotype of, hey, if you're in the trades, you're addicted to something. Right. And I like what I'm seeing in the world right now. I think a lot of it is coming from social media because there's people like you that have turned things around. You're being an example and you're making it cool to not be a slave to that stuff. You're making it cool and highly visible to tens of thousands of people and contractors to work out and to be in shape and live a life of discipline and those things. And so I think that's one of the benefits I've seen from social media, just in the blue collar world, is there just seems to be a lot more guys posting pictures of their workout instead of posting pictures of drinking beer after work. So, yeah. And it's about, I truly believe our biggest hindrance to recruiting more people into the trades is the example that we're all living, right? Like if we're fat, drunk, and broke, right? Who the hell wants to get into that? But when you're in shape, you're making bank, you got a great team, you got, you know, girlfriend, wife, significant other on your arm, like you got a strong relationship, all these different things, that sends a message like, hey, because you know, right now, everybody growing up, they want to be a social media influencer and all this other shit. They haven't done a fucking thing in their life. And, you know, and they're avoiding the trades like the plague, because I believe truly the root of it is the example of most contractors and most people that work in the trades.
Exactly. So, what you said, it's like, it's not appealing. It's like, no one has ever woken up wanting to be more fat, more of an alcoholic, and more broke. So it's like, that's everyone in blue collar industry, like they complain about that. It's like, oh yeah, I'm always drinking. My wife's always, how many times have you been divorced? How many, all these negative things. It's like, yeah, of course no one wants to do it. There's nothing appealing to it.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. You go, nobody wakes up wanting to be more fat or this and that. I remember this is a long time ago. Things were not going well in life and business. And I remember having some drinks one night after work. And I literally said to I was alone too. I was at home. Nobody else was home. But I was just drinking way too much. I was just depressed or whatever. It was one of those shitty days, right? And I remember saying to myself, let's see how drunk I can get. Like it was almost like a goal. I was going to say, like, literally, can I drink all of the alcohol in the house tonight? Which I didn't do, thank God. But anyway, you're right. We don't wake up. We all have dreams, right? Someday I'm going to get in shape. Someday I'm going to make money. Someday you fill in the blank, whatever it is you want. What do you tell somebody who's still chasing their first someday? Like they've been saying, someday I'm going to do this for fucking 5 years and they haven't, whatever it is. I don't care what the goal is. What do you tell that person who's dragging their feet on their someday?
Oh yeah. I just try to be, I be as blunt as I can be. A lot of my content is that way. I just call people out because a lot of times people have been coddled their whole lives. And so like, I'll call guys like, how can you be a dad if you're broke? Like, how can you be a dad if you're an alcoholic? Like, how can you be a dad if you're fat? Like, is that the example you're trying to set for your kids? And then it strikes a chord in a lot of guys. And then, because they've never been told that. And they think it's fine to not be a role model. They think it's fine to just go with mediocrity. I was like, I don't think so. I was like, I think it's good to be an example as your best, physically, financially, mentally, all across the board. And some guys it hits with, some guys they're hard-headed with it. But as long as someone's making a decision on it, that's all I care about, is like whether someone hates me or love me. As long as they know they've heard of me, that's all that matters.
Fighters, when you started your business, there were some people, of course, that supported you, but there were other people that were judging you. Right? They're saying, you're never going to make any money. It's really hard to start a business. You're going to have to work your butt off. You're never going to see your family. If the economy tanks, you're probably going to go bankrupt. And all these things flying at you from the doubters. Well, listen, I want to equip you with everything you need to prove them wrong. And that's why I want you to get your keister, your butt, your seat, the back end part of your body that you put on a chair. I want you to bring it to Denver in September. So hit the link and be part of our final Mile High Profit Summit here in 2024. I'm out. Yeah, I remember, God, probably 10 years ago now, I did a talk for this group and I talked about the power of polarization. You know, like if you're, you know, in your case, social media, right? You're doing your social media. If you're indifferent, if you're in the middle, nobody gives a fuck, right? You got to take a stand for something. And there's, when anytime you take a stand for something, you're going to have lovers and you're going to have haters, and that's totally okay. Being in the middle sucks. See, I love those posts when I do like a, I did a post on how I, it was a YouTube short that I did, I don't know, a couple months ago. And in, you know, 50, 60 seconds, I was like, I fired 7 people in a 20-minute period because they were fucking toxic employees. And 5 minutes afterwards, we were more profitable. Like, it was that quick. And I got all this hate mail, right? I'm sure you've gotten these, like, well, no wonder you were profitable. You fired 7 of your employees, you know, and you were keeping more of the money. What they didn't understand was, and we're actually getting ready to record a full-length video telling the whole story. This was a long time ago. But the 5 people that we kept out of the 12, I fired 7. We kept 5. Those 5, we gave a 30% raise on the spot, got rid of the toxic ones who weren't bringing everyone down. And those 5 produced more work with less callbacks than the whole team of 12 did because they didn't have the distraction of the toxic guys. Okay. But that's one of my points is like when I do a post, I do a video, if I'm not getting like fuck yeah or fuck you, one of those two reactions, that I know that I didn't do it right. I didn't bring my A game, you know? And so
yeah, because everyone's too scared to like make an opinion on something. It's like they don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. It's like, no. That's what you're supposed to do. You just make your opinion because you truly believe it. It's like, if you're trying to make everyone happy, you're pleasing no one.
Yeah. Well, that's a hell to live in too. You know, when you're trying to walk the line and please everybody and stuff, that's just too much stress every day in my book. But so we kind of just dipped our toe there into a little bit of the main gist of what I want to talk about. And that's building your contracting business with social media. Talk about it a lot here. Around the time that we connected, it's funny, it was coincidence, whatever you want to call it. I had a couple other people send me links to your shit all within the same week that you and I connected and like, hey, have you ever seen this guy? And I hadn't, which is funny because I'm on this shit all the time and I just never came across you. But, and you know, across your platforms and stuff, Instagram, TikTok, this and that, you got a couple 100,000 followers. And before we hit record here today, you know, I asked what percentage of your revenue comes from social media and your answer was
100%. It was all from there.
Rewind.
No websites.
Rewind 100%. Okay. So I'm sure now that it's established, you're getting word of mouth and repeat business and some things like that. But the origin of your business, couple million bucks a year, is social media. So let's dig into that. How the hell does that happen? A lot of guys are, you know, they're either going, I don't know what to post. I don't know how often to post. I have nothing exciting to post. You've heard all the excuses, right?
Yeah.
You've talked to contractors and stuff. So what's the game plan, man? What's it look like?
So it's the biggest thing is a lot of guys, they know how to do the work, but they don't know how to get the work. And I realized, well, getting the work's the most important part of the business. Like, who cares if you have 20 years of screeding concrete? If you don't have a job, what's the point? And so I focused all my time on just learning how to market and get customers because then I can figure everything else out, but we have to get work. And it was all just like Facebook ads. I was watching tons of videos on how to market on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
And yeah, within months of starting the business, we were getting 20, 30 leads a week and it was just blowing up because no one else is doing it or they're all doing it wrong. So there's no competition. Yeah.
So I think more are doing it wrong than not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably 50-50, but because a lot of people are like, I don't need to do social media and this, it's fucking free eyeballs, guys. Anyway, what was it about your posts? How did you approach it? Did you just start, like, did you have a strategy that you follow and you know that, or like, I'm just curious because when I see somebody start doing social media, all right, like somebody I know in my family right now has a business, right? And in the trades. Mm-hmm. And they're posting things like, literally it'll be an Instagram image and they're doing what they know to do and they're consistent. And I appreciate that. I'm not ripping on that part of this, right? But like, they'll post a picture of a fence and say, we install fences, call us, okay? And then the next post will be, you know, we fix this, call us. And it's just every post is like, you know, there's a before and after here and there, but the majority of the posts are like, hire me and buy my shit, you know?
Yeah.
And what I've learned is that people buy from people and, you know, and people they can engage with, that they can, you know, you can't like and trust somebody if you don't get to know them and those types of things. So what's your approach to this? Because I've gone through your social media and I don't see anything like the typical shit most people do.
Oh, so, no. It's, yeah. So breaking down how strategy was. So number one, it was volume. I was posting 4 videos a day, which was most people were struggling to post one. So I was like, no, I'm going all in, Grant Cardone style. Yeah. So I was posting 4 a day. I was also posting a lot of polarizing content. So exactly like what you said. So on the videos and photos I'll post, I'll put the pricing at the top. Mm-hmm. That'll weed out a lot of people. And that'll get a lot of people engaged in the comments. People will say I'm too cheap. People will say I'm too expensive. But posting the price on your post, on the ad, immediately tells the customer whether they can afford it or not. It saves you time from going out to, cheap homeowners. And then also doing a lot of videos. So it's documenting. I keep it super simple. I don't have any like GoPros, nothing like that, no stands. Mm-hmm. Everything is just 100% from my iPhone. And I just click record. I don't use any editing apps, nothing. I just record it. Hey, check out this $10,000 concrete driveway we did. And then I post it. And I like to leave it as raw and authentic because so many people over-edit it and then it looks, it's just over-edited. It looks fake. But if you keep it raw and authentic, like, hey, there's a little mess over here. These guys are working over there. The customer feels like they're there on the spot. And then I show a lot of my face as well. Because, like you said, people buy from people they like. And so if I'm using my content to actually sell people before I see them. So like after they've watched 10 different reels, they already know our process. They've seen the crews. Mm-hmm. They've seen my face. They've seen our prices. So by the time I meet with the customer, or when I did meet with the customer, when I was running the construction business, they're already sold. They already know who I am, the crews, things like that. They see our process. So it's not even a sales call. Like they already consumed 2 hours of content. That was the 2-hour sales call.
Who's hiring you?
From the content? We do all residential. Okay. It was all residential.
But is it like our builders reaching out? Is it GCs? Is it homeowners? Like who's reaching in? What are they saying? Like I'm just, because again, like if you're 28 years old? I'm 54. Yeah, 54. All right. So a little bit of an age difference here. I didn't grow up in a world where everything was downloadable and shit like that. So no judgment here. I'm just totally being curious. Yeah. When I think of Google, they call Google, somebody goes to Google and it's an intent-based search. They're looking for a concrete guy or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You go to something like Facebook or Instagram and you're not there particularly to look for a trade. Okay.
Yeah, so
a lot of people aren't. So I'm just curious, like, what are you hearing? Although I can say that my wife and I, my landscape, good buddy of mine, and I already knew who he was, so it really doesn't count, but we used to sit in bed and scroll through his Instagram shit and talk about the backyard we were going to build. And we were like, I like this idea. And I like this idea. And we already knew we were going to hire Matt. You know what I mean? So I know some people do that, but I'm just curious, like, who's hiring? What are you hearing? And, you know, to do a couple million a year from what? Instagram and TikTok, right?
And Facebook? Facebook and Instagram. That was really where,
And Instagram? Okay.
So you can actually target age ranges. You can target occupations. You can target codes. So like ours, we would target it only in the top 50% zip codes. You have to be at least 35 years old to even see our ads. And you can even pick like professions. So like a lot of ours will target to people that own boats and RVs. Because if they have a boat and RV, like cool, that's our bread and butter, RV pads. And if they can drop $25,000 on a boat, they can afford a $10,000 slab.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how we did our targeting. So it would just pop up on people's phones because people check their Facebook 10 times a day. If I pop up on their feed 10 times a day, so a lot more likely they'll hire.
So, and that's ads. Like I know you can target on ads. What's your approach with your organic stuff? Were you getting business from that too? Or was it predominantly just the ads?
Predominantly just the ads. Yeah. It wasn't
the organic stuff kind of like supports the ads. Like they see like you're a real business and shit.
Exactly.
When they go check out your profile. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause on the reels, they'll like a photo and now they'll just start seeing more photos pop up. And we kind of just use that as like the catalog. instead of sending someone a booklet or catalog, like just send them your Facebook page. So if they like a couple photos, every time they open up Facebook, now you'll pop up again.
Mm-hmm. What is unique about the ads that you do on Instagram? Is it back to what you said where you're like, hey, check out this $10,000 slab we did?
Yeah, I think it was because polarizing. That?
Yeah.
It was polarizing. Either the job was like, it was amazing, or there was some, one of the best ones we did is one of the joints was actually crooked. And so I posted that ad. That was actually our best performing ad. The joint is crooked and and it just went, so many people commented, so many people were talking shit on it, but that was what worked best for us because so many people commented negatively and all of our responses were, thank you for the feedback. Appreciate the support. It was all like positive comments. And so we got so many customers reaching out to us because they loved how like we were just so professional and it was good. The people that were pissed off, it was actually other contractors. So
it's
they were
always
just
other
like,
contractors,
yeah,
man.
They were just trying to tear us down because we were getting all this, feedback from social media and it was reinforcing. So that was the best. It was like polarizing or either a fabulous job.
One of our posts that did really well and it was just organic was one of the coaches in our program was sitting in our studio here in Colorado Springs. He flew out and we recorded one of our video courses on numbers. And while he was sitting on one of the sofas, I asked him a question and filmed it. You know what I'm saying? Just real quick, you know, just for social media. Well, behind him was, we painted all the walls a flat black, but I didn't do a total, you know, top level drywall finishing job. We just left because it's part of a warehouse. So downstairs is like a shop area. And then you go up the stairs and you're into our studio. It's probably 600 square feet. It's one big room. And it was just fire taped. You know what I mean? Like it was just this shitty room. We threw down some area rugs, threw some black on the walls, really didn't care. You know, just threw up a couple fight signs and some pictures and this and that. Because it's not like our permanent thing. You know, we don't care. It's the shop, if that makes sense. Dude, the amount of fucking people that were commenting like, I thought you were a painting contractor. I can't believe that you left that drywall behind his head look like that. And I'm like, I'm replying, hey, thanks, man, but I don't fucking care. You know, it's a shop. It's, you know, it's not Mrs. Jones's house. Like it's very different. So it was just, it's funny that it's true. Like 90% or more of the shit content or comments we get are from other contractors. In fact, I'll do a video going, hey, you need to, you know, if it costs you $1 to produce it, you charge two to the
customer. Seen your comments. Yeah.
All right. And comment and how many fucking contractors are in there going, you're a fucking thief. You're ripping people off. You know, this is why people hate contractors. And I'm like, no motherfucker, this is why contractors are broke, you know, and they're stealing from their families. Cause you shitheads are arguing with, I'm trying to make you more fucking money, you knucklehead. You know what I mean? And you're arguing with me? Fuck off. I mean, see, get me all jacked up now, because here we go. It's like, it's that polarizing shit. So you're running these ads. They're polarizing. Have you ever, I don't get the sense if this has ever bothered you, but I got to ask for the people that listen to this. Was there ever a point or is there ever a point where before you hit publish on something, you're like, oh man, is this going to hurt us? Like, you ever get insecure about how transparent you're going to be, how polarizing you're going to be? Because a lot of guys are going to be like, well, you got to be professional as a company. I'm curious how you walk that line.
Yeah. So
care.
I used to in the beginning. And then what I realized was like the more authentic I was, the better I got in business, the better the content grew, because then I wasn't faking anything. It was all like, no, this is how I truly feel. And then people resonate with it. And that's what's worked best, because I do not dress professional. I wear Nikes and I wear snapbacks and a nose ring when I was doing all my estimates. I wasn't wearing a polo and dress shoes.
Right.
But that's fine, because the customers I got, they had that same vibe. Yep. They were strong conservative. They were like, they were listening. Yeah, they listened to rap or things like that. So it was good. Like, your vibe attracts your tribe. And those are the people I was resonating with. And it was good. The people that didn't like that, they were all Karens anyways. I didn't want to work with them. It's reframing it from customers picking you to you picking them. And then as soon as you have that, like, then you just don't even care. Like, this is how I feel. And it'll resonate with people who feel the same way.
So back to the ads. Were they all reels?
No, it was all photos.
So it was photos. It's a picture.
None of them were reels. Yeah, they were all photos. Okay.
All right. And then, and it'd be, so it'd be like a picture with some text on it. And you said you were just making this shit on your phone, right?
Yeah. And I was just posting, I would post like 10 and then, okay, hopefully one or two hits. Cool. One or two hits. And then that's how I got better. I was always constantly putting in so much volume for either posting content or posting ads so I can get a lot of feedback quickly to see what works and what doesn't work. That's what a lot of the people I see who are miles above me, they say that's the first part, is like, just get so many reps in. It's the same as like shooting a free throw. Shooting your first free throw, you miss, you don't know what you did wrong. But shooting your 10,000th, if you miss, you know exactly what you did. Okay, I need to tuck in my elbow more, release over here, hold the ball placement this way. So it's all reps in the beginning. And then you can, so many people switch it. They try to focus on the quality, but you don't even know what quality is yet. So it's like, get the reps first, get the quantity in, then you can do quality.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a buddy of mine recently. He said, quality or quantity? And I said, yes. You know, because it's like, you it's can't both. Get, like, exactly what you said. You can't get to quality without the quantity, right? You can't have a quality golf swing without a lot of shitty golf swings, right? And even in the fight, man, if you go back on my YouTube channel and watch the very first video I ever posted, oh my God, dude. We've got over, you know, with shorts and long form, there's probably 1,200 videos on the channel now. And the first one was me standing in front of a whiteboard. It was, I don't know, 2013, something like that. I didn't even have the contractor fight at that time. It was just me trying to educate people. I wasn't sure what we were going to do. I had my son holding a camera. And there's a glare off the whiteboard and he's too close and the audio sucked and this and that. And you know what? That was the first domino. It was just the first one.
And then look at it. You said 1,200 later.
And you show up again and you show up again. You know, 90, what is it? Probably 85%-ish of our revenue in the contractor fight comes from the YouTube channel and our podcast. Okay. And it's, I mean, I talked to a kid today who just joined our program and I just called to welcome him in. And I said, how'd you find us? He goes, oh man, it was like 3 or 4 years ago. And I saw one of your videos, you know, and he somehow just kept watching, kept showing up. And when he was ready, that's the other thing I've learned is people buy when they're ready, not when I'm ready, you know, which is why you got to keep showing up and hitting the rock every day, man. What were you in? I'm just super curious here because it's not very often that I talk to a contractor where damn near all of their revenue comes from social media, right? What was in the body of the ad, in the text? You had the image, but like, what were you putting in the body? What's your call to action? Was it go to your website? Was it call? I'm just curious.
It was just concrete driveways and patios. Message me for more info. I'm nothing too... I mean, I guess I've always been a natural copywriter, so I always could tell what's right or not wrong. And so so it's tough to explain that way, but it was like, I would use emojis to grab attention. So colors as well. So another thing was like, I would use red because red is associated with urgent or attention. Mm-hmm. And so I would use those.
Red in the colors. Text, you mean with emojis and stuff like exclamation points or the headline on the picture? So that you had the image on the picture, then whatever you had would be red. Okay.
Both. Yeah. Cool. So I'd use like the red emojis. So like the exclamation point or the red diamonds. Yep. And then very short and sweet were the messages. It was like concrete driveways and patios, or I would call out the specific cities. So I'd say whatever, Provo homeowners or Bountiful homeowners, because it's calling out an avatar. So anyone that's a Bountiful homeowner, they'll just keep on reading. Which is probably one of the biggest things. But I'd say 90% of it was really more focused, not so much on the text, was more on the photo, if it was going to grab someone's attention. Because people are scrolling all day. Yeah. So it's like something has to grab their attention. And so I would, yeah, just any kind of blemish I knew, well, oh, guys, contractors will talk shit about this. Like, they'll talk shit that the stakes are not below the 2x4.
Yeah.
So I knew that they would talk shit about that or whatever it is, the broom, maybe a little inconsistent somewhere. Actually, that's more what I focused on, was the photos versus the actual body of the text.
It's funny. So you're strategically using the critical nature of the average contractor to get more engagement on your ads, which in turn makes you more money.
And they're so stupid because they hate seeing my stuff, but they don't realize every time you comment, now it's going to show up more. And so you get it all the time too. People were like, oh, this guy's an idiot. But then they watch like 20 other videos. It's like, hey, you can call me an idiot, but the more comments I get and the more times you watch my video, it actually pushes it to more people. So I never block those people, the haters, whatever. Mm-hmm. They just don't realize they're actually boosting me.
It's funny as you're sharing this in our, we have a free group called the Contractor Fight on Facebook. It's got about 17,000 contractors in it. And I will drop a post. Here's the contrast, right? I will drop a post that I put my heart and soul into. Like, I will give so much value. I'll spend 2 days crafting the perfect text post to help these guys make more money, do something just to add value, right? I mean, it's laughable sometimes how much time I will put into this. And there's 17,000 people in the group who get 500 views and nobody gives a shit, right? And then I'll just snap a picture of a fucking door and I'll go, how much to paint this? And I'll put it in there. And there's 16,000 comments and all. It's off the charts crazy because contractors by nature want to give their opinion on shit.
Yeah.
You know? So if I want, I've done it where I had an important announcement, for event tickets that were going on sale, I'd put a picture of a door and I go, how much for this door? How much would you pay to put this door in or whatever? And then when they clicked it, they'd open it and said, hey, our tickets are on sale for our event. So at least I know they'd see it. So I try to game the system that way. Anyway, fucking contract.
Yeah.
Knuckleheads.
No matter what you do, it's wrong.
It is. Hey, fighters, if you're tired of underachieving in your sales and profit of your business, I want you to head to thecontractorfight.com/battleground and check out our amazing group coaching program there. Listen, I'm reading a message that somebody sent me, and they said, here's some interesting pre and post battleground stats. And it's blowing my mind here. They got a couple salespeople in their company. Prior to joining the group and teaching our Shin Fu process and role playing and stuff, the average job size for this one sales rep was about $5,600, and he was closing 24% of his leads. And after a couple months in the group, he's at a 50% close rate with an $8,200 job size. And then the other dude was selling at 46% close rate at $8,700 job size. And just a couple months later, he's 88% close rate and an average job size of almost $11,500. So guys, we're all about profit here in the Contractor Fight. If you're struggling with it, you're tired of getting ghosted, if you're tired of working your ass off and not making what you need to make, head to thecontractorfight.com/battleground and join the cool kids. I'm out. So if somebody is listening to this, and I know you're coaching guys and helping them too, I want to get into that in a second here, but somebody who was listening to this a few minutes ago, you said you put 4 videos up a day. How long did you do that? And is that many really needed?
No. I just wanted to, so it's like we were saying, the quality, quantity.
Right.
I knew I had to get quantity out first so then I could understand. And then after after a month or two, then I started getting traction because posting 4 a day is cool. I had 120 videos this month, next month, right, 240. So in a short amount of time, I got a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
I guess to answer your question, is it needed? It just depends on how fast do you want to grow it? If that's not your goal, then you don't need to. But I guess your 1200 videos you've done, if you took way longer to do the 1200 videos. If you took 30 years to do it, like right. you'd probably have the same yeah. size brand now, but like it just would have taken a lot longer. So I just wanted to learn really quickly. And I just knew I was terrible at the videos and terrible yeah. at taking photos. And so I just wanted to get better at it. And then it grew, I think about 2 years now it's been since I've been posting on social media. So it's grown pretty quickly.
And what are a couple out of the box, maybe polarizing ideas you could give a listener, you know, regardless numbers. Of their trade numbers?
Yeah. So numbers is the biggest one by far, because everyone will tell you you're either too cheap or you're too expensive. And then that one and saying how to do something. Because if you say, this is how you broom concrete. Yeah. So if you're just, if you just say, this is how you do something, or yeah. this is how I do something, and just saying it, because so many people are afraid to say that because they don't want to get ridiculed. They don't want the bad comments. But those are just good. Like you, yeah. So just be saying this is how to do something by far. So, but yeah, and the pricing helps you out a lot with the customers, just so they can know like, cool, that's what a 20K driveway looks like.
Yeah. And that way, you know, you're pre-qualifying them. You know, they're not reaching out to you if they're exactly. not willing to spend around the amount that you just talked about. And you just saved yourself a bunch of time. So I love that. What have we not talked about on social media that might be important before we move on to what else you're doing and where people can reach you?
I think we covered pretty much. Yeah, I think it's mostly just a volume game. Oh, and then simple. That's probably the other thing, is like keeping it super simple. So many people, they think they need like to hire a videographer. They need to get all these fancy cameras. They need to get all this massive setup. All, whatever, 300,000 followers were gained just from purely my iPhone. Mm-hmm. And yeah, no special apps or anything. I just use Instagram to edit my content. Because that's where mine said, like, simple scales, fancy fails. So if yeah. I can just keep it super simple, I'll be able to do that kind of volume. So like people think like, man, you did 4 videos a day. Well, yeah, but it took me like 15 minutes. Right. Because like I just kept it to a simple process. I wasn't trying to do all these fancy gizmos. I was just doing simple and just starting. Yeah. If you want to make it more complicated, cool. But
yeah,
you can do a lot with just an iPhone.
Yeah, it's funny. I get some sort of video person reaching out to me every day of the week, you know, in the DMs and stuff. Like, hey, we took one of your videos from YouTube and we made a reel off of it, you know, and what do you think? And we can make a lot more of these for you, you know, and the quality of your reels could be better and this and that. And I'm like, you know, I'd never reply, but I replied to one guy not too long ago because I had gotten a lot of messages from him. He's a nice guy. And I just said, dude, what's the goal of me having higher quality reels? You know what I mean? Like, really, what's the goal? Because I don't want more reels. Mm-hmm. I don't want a high quality reel. I want people to opt in to, you know, the spreadsheet we're giving away. I want people to buy an event ticket. I want people to join the Contractor Fight free Facebook group. Like that's the exchange that I want, is something like that. I, you know, people don't hire a marketing agency because they want somebody to run ads. They hire a marketing agency because they want to fucking make money, you know? So it's like,
yeah.
I'm glad you brought up the whole keep it simple and you did everything on your phone. I tell guys all the time, like, if you don't have any jobs lined up for a few weeks, pull out your damn phone and go live from your shop, from your current job site. I don't care where you're at, and tell us about you. You know, if you open up a wall, or like you're saying, you know, broom and concrete or whatever, you know, pull the camera out and just go, hey, this is how we broom concrete. Like, it doesn't have to be like, hey, it's Tom and we don't have any work, hire me. Okay. Just educate, bring them behind the curtain, you know, bring up a polarizing topic. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated. And I think so many people are afraid of making a mistake. And I'm mm-hmm. like, dude, if it tanks, you can take it down.
Well, you know what I mean? The thing. That's the other people thing. Are afraid. Yeah. People are afraid is like, what if it works? And, or like, yeah, what if it's a bad and it's, what if it's a bad video and it's shitty? It's like, well, no one's going to see it anyways. So like,
right.
Don't worry about it. You're going to get 2 views. Like,
yeah,
you'll be fine. Which people can go look at my past reels of like the ones that got like 20 views. It's like, oh yeah, it was way shitty. You need those reps. Yeah, people just need to start and get over their head. And then the other thing too is like people are, they don't post on social media, but they don't really understand. It's like, it's not for you. It's for the customer. It's for whoever you're trying to give your show, your company. It's like, you get value off social media. You don't put it back out there. And it's like, a lot of guys don't post on social media because they say, oh no, I'm the best. Like, we just do all word of mouth. It's like, well, if you're really the quality company, wouldn't you want more people to know about you? Like, wouldn't you want them not to go with a cheaper contractor? Right. You're doing a disservice not putting it out there for the world to see.
Mm-hmm. No, I love that. It's not that hard. You know, you just, you got to commit. You got to be the biggest champion of building your own brand and getting eyeballs on it. You can't sell shit without eyeballs, right? And mm-hmm. So give some people a challenge here. Let's give them a challenge. Like, if you're not getting leads from social media right now, what's something they could take action on in the next 20 minutes after listening to this? Let's give them an assignment. What do you want to do?
At least one post about who they are and like why they started the business, their story.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one post, because then you don't need a script for that. It's like, why did you start this business? It's like, oh, I was tired of working for this guy for 10 years. I needed to set a better example for my family. It's like, we came here from Mexico. It's like, I wanted to build generational wealth for my kids. It's like, mm-hmm. That's what'll resonate. It's like, you don't need a script for that. It's like, hey, why did you start this business? What's your goal? What do you want to do with it? I'd say that one. You make that, and then instantly people will resonate with you, and now they'll know who they're working with.
Yeah, my brother started a painting and remodeling company. He started a painting company, then he added remodeling about a year ago. And it's not his main career, but he started it because during COVID, his main career got hammered. And around the same time, they had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Born like way premature. Like, it's amazing my nephew's alive. And just the in-home care and the nurses and everything that they need to take care of this kid, he's like, I got to start a business. And so that's his why. That's why he started the business, you know? And I tell him, I'm like, dude, you know, put your fucking mug on a video, right? And go, hey, I started this thing. And 100% of the money and the profits we make are going to take care of my kid. That's it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the why. Because, you know, we're in for a long haul here. And so, and just, you know, share his heart behind it. So I think that's one of the things you do well is the transparency, the vulnerability, you know, the polarization. I think that's something, you know, I was on a podcast not too long ago. Somebody asked me, you know, what I felt the secret sauce to the contractor fight was. And I said, I was just being vulnerable and, you know, just, you know, unleashing it and putting it out there, man. And I think, you know, and you got to do that within the context of who you are, right? You can't be somebody else. You just got to be you, is my point. But I just see fear leading so many business owners away from taking the action they need to take on social media, you know? And then they fucking argue with me when I'm like, you know, I mean, like, I love the guys that are like 60 years old or like, I've been in business 43 years and it's all word of mouth, you know, and I never once had to advertise and I don't have a Facebook account. And I'm like, well, then if your business is so great, why are you making 60 grand a year and still working at fucking 60 with the tools on? You know, unless that's totally what you want to do and you're happy. I don't judge that, but don't sit here and rip on somebody who's, you know, saying, hey, I'd at some point like to scale my business and get the tools off and, you know, not be married to this thing 24/7. So
No, you're right. That's, which is where most people hate on it. That is like, mm-hmm. They say it all the time. It's like, to me, like, cause I have, oh, you have soft hands. You don't get dirty. He's like, well, no, that's why I started the business. I didn't start the business to wear a tool belt till I'm 65. Like that. Yeah. I would have just stayed at my job if I wanted to do that. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I want everybody to understand this. Like, I don't judge you if you want to work in the field, right? If that's your thing, that's totally cool. I don't know your life situation. I don't know if you fucking won the lottery and you just started a business because you want something to do and you like to build shit. I don't care. I don't care if if your spouse works and you don't need to make money and you just like do it, then knock yourself out. But the majority of people that listen to shit like this are the ones that are going, I want to build a $5 million, $10 million business. I want to buy a fucking boat. I want to have 20 trucks on the road. I want to scale this thing. And then at the same breath, they're going to argue with building your brand and doing social media. That's who I call bullshit on. Well, dude, what else you got going on, man? You got the concrete business that your brother's running. And then you said a few months ago or a year ago or so, you opened it up to helping some people. And what's that look like?
Yeah. So I started posting a lot on social media. Things that I learned, good and bad. Hey, these are mistakes I made. This is how I lost money. This is what helped me close more jobs. And then people started asking for help. And now I started the program I have now. I started it like December, helping contractors hit whatever numbers they want to hit, which most want to hit at least a million. Because like you said, only 9% of contractors even hit that mark. And so it's right. Like, it's a good milestone. But I love it because I've helped so many people avoid the mistakes I made.
Yeah.
Like one of the youngest guy in my group, he's 18 years old. He dropped out of high school. And he did 34K this last week. 18 nice. Years old, landscaping and concrete in Missouri.
Yeah.
Fully subbing it out. And so he's like, he's working smarter. He's going to make more money than his parents before his high school graduation in May.
Right.
And like, I love helping guys like that. It's like taking them from zero. It's like, here, these are all the mistakes I made. You can kill it. Just avoid all the stupid things I did. And so it's like seeing guys win like that. That's what I love. But yeah, there's that's the coaching group I have now, helping all different types of contractors. There's one-on-one coaching for $3K a month, or there's the group coaching that's $750 for 3 months. Either way, it's really just me and one of my partners I have just learning directly from us. Not just of the business, though, also trying to get the mindset right, trying to drop the vices, trying to get in shape, because I'm a firm believer. You have to win in all areas. There's no point making all the money if you don't see your kids. Yeah, if you're fat, if you're an alcoholic, then what's the point if you can't even enjoy your wealth? And so, yeah, I'm more focused on trying to help guys just really, we just got to win in all areas.
One of our philosophies here, or my philosophies that we have here in the fight, is success is an inside out game. And, we go strong you, strong home, strong business in that order. You know, you work on you, you work on the home in that order, and then you work on the business. And sadly, we, in the name of providing for our families and the people that we love and our employees and all these things, we have it flipped and we put everything we have into the business. And like you were talking about, you start doing, 6-8 shots a day, you're getting fat, you're not working out. You're not taking care of you, and then
not seeing your kids.
Clarity. Yeah, you lack clarity. You're not home for date nights. You're not, not home for dinner, whatever it is. And what I've learned, through a lot of error in, what I say, I'm 54, I've made a lot of mistakes, is what I've learned is that you take you and home with you wherever you go. I don't care if you work at a fucking 7-Eleven or you own a concrete business, right? When you walk out the door, what's going on in you and what's going on under your roof at home comes with you. And so, and I can tell you that many years ago, when I flipped it and I'm like, no, I'm getting my own oxygen first, taking care of me, health, sleep, those types of things, eating right, workout, whatever. And then I'm putting my next round of energy and focus and priority on the relationship with my wife and what's going on here at home. We have 5 kids, are all out of the house, but it still applies. Dude, you could literally see with almost immediately when I adopted that priority, my revenue, profit, everything on our business statements started climbing when I made that shift. And so that's why I'm always in guys' heads, or ears or whatever it is, going, dude, you got to get out of your own fucking way here. Take care of you. Take care of what's going on at home. Then the business, you'll be stronger. You want to build a strong business. Your business will only grow as strong as you and your home life is. So anyway, I'm off my soapbox. It's your interview. So
I love it, bro. We can jam on this all day. I love it. Because it's not building the business. It's building the man. And then the business will follow.
Yep. Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N, old motivational speaker guy.
Oh, yeah.
1,000 years ago, said, don't seek to become a millionaire for the sake of having $1 million, but seek to be wealthy for who you have to become in order to be wealthy. you know, and, you know, I've got money, and I can tell you who I've had to become is pretty crazy from where, what I thought it was about when I was younger. You know, like I used to look at rich people growing up and I'd be like, oh, fuck them. You know, cause in our house, people were like, oh, if you're rich, you're stealing from somebody, you're ripping people off, you're the ogre boss and all those different things. And the more I've succeeded and earned and this and that through the years, I have truly learned that the wealthiest people are some of the most well-rounded, self-developed people, self-aware, compassionate, you know, sacrificial mm-hmm. people that I've ever met in my life. You know, yeah. I mean, dude, you don't have a wife and kids, yet you were lying awake at night worried about your 12 employees and their kids. I mean, just who does that, right? Somebody who gives a fuck does. So it's
yeah, exactly. And people, because like talking about the goals I want to hit, it's like I'm fully like my goal is to hit 1 million a month, and I want to push for that just mm-hmm. because that's my goal. And people try to project that, hey, money isn't everything. It's like, no, you don't understand. People that say money isn't everything haven't given enough away. It's like, yeah, they say that all the time. It's like money doesn't buy happiness. It's like, no, you haven't given enough away. I bet if you built a couple schools, you'd feel pretty happy. If you help a couple thousand people have a meal, you'll feel pretty good. It's selfish yeah. of you not to work harder to help others. Like, why would you not?
Yeah, my wife and I, we give to many things, and then we do a lot of like unofficial, non-planned things where like, if I see something online, you know, that somebody that, you know, my sister might do a post about a friend or something, and I'll just open up the link and it's nice to have the money and just go, here's $1,000. You know what I mean? Like you want to help. That's, you know, again, just to echo what you say, it's, we all reach a point where if you're honest, you go, okay, my needs are met, right? Mm-hmm. And you can have goals and retire or build your house or plane or whatever you want to have, right? That's totally cool. But at some point, man, if you're not giving and helping other people succeed, and it could be your time, it could be your money, right? It could be your wisdom, it could be mentoring somebody, whatever it is. That we're not just talking financial here, that, mm-hmm. you know, there's, what is it? I forget where, but I think somewhere in the Bible it says, if you want to be refreshed, go refresh others, right? You want to be fed, go feed others, you know? And I can just tell you, it's a lot fucking easier to meet other needs when you have money than when you don't have money. You know, I'll never forget talking to this contractor years ago who coincidentally was arguing with me about how to make money and grow his business. And
he got more money.
He was a guy that did not join our program because whatever, I didn't, you know, he didn't resonate. We didn't connect. Right. But anyway, he said to me, my goal is to, he wanted to build tiny home communities for veterans. Okay. So there were no homeless veterans. And I'm like, that's fine, dude. But here's the problem. Your business as it sits right now can't do that. Right? You got to get oxygen. He was like, not even, he was maybe a year and a half old business that was stacking up debt, right? Not approaching each day and each project with certain fundamentals that were going to make them successful and help them stack those wins and increase profit, get out of debt and build a war chest that then he can invest with his team into the heart passion projects that he wants to do. And that's all I'm saying. Like you got to, again, it, you know, strong you for you business owners also means building a strong business that's strong in cash, that's not a slave to debt. And because that also helps things at home, which then in turn, you know, when you and your people under your roof at home have something on your heart and you want to help people in the world, you're going to be stronger together if your needs at home are met, right? So it's never selfish to feed yourself first is my point. So anyway, I'm going round and round.
They teach that. Well, no, they teach that on airplanes. So like when oxygen is cut off from the airplane, you have to mask yourself mm-hmm. before you can mask others because you can't really help them.
Right.
Or the same with like AA. If you want to stay sober, you help keep someone else sober. So it's like, mm-hmm. take care of yourself first too, but the way you can stay on top is like helping others as well along the way.
100%, man. So if somebody wants to find you, they want to follow you, they want to see what you're doing on social. And dude, I mean this as a compliment. All right. I'm on your Instagram right now. All right. I mean this as a compliment. when I pull up your feed, okay, this is a compliment, by the way. There's nothing fancy about it. Like you said, I mean, I just happened to open it up here again and to reiterate your whole simple thing. All right. There's a lot of people that have feeds that are all fancy and highly edited and all this other shit that can't get engagement to save their life and couldn't get a fucking customer if their life depended on it from their social. So it's more about the consistency. It's more about the things we talked about with being polarizing and taking a stand for something and not overthinking this stuff. So again, hat tip to you, because you see a lot of feeds and stuff like that on Instagram or whatever, and it's like perfect. And yours, I can tell you do a lot of things on the fly as they come to you. You just pull out your camera and like, hey, here's some thoughts.
Those are the best ones. You edit it a little bit.
And you throw it out there. So, but anyway, where do they find you? Where do you want people to go to learn more about what you got going on, man?
Instagram's the easiest. Aniala Fia Fia. That's where I'm the most active on, is on Instagram right there. You message me, it's me chatting with you. I want people to like resonate with me and talk to me and all the content and everything. That's who they'll just be working with.
I love it, man. We'll definitely drop the links in the show notes and make sure people know where to find it. So if you're listening to this, go ahead and scroll down, open up the description or whatever it is and tap the button, damn it. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you hanging here today, and I learned a bunch of stuff. I don't know about you guys, but I did. I got some work to do on my Instagram. Instagram hates me, by the way. I'm just going to tell you that. It fucking hates me. So
you're banned. Shadow banned.
No, I don't know if I'm shadow banned. I think I just suck. So but anyway, appreciate you making some time here today and kicking ass. Keep doing your thing. I can't wait to see where you're at 12 months from now, because I know you're hitting it hard, and it's going to be a fun journey to watch.
So, sounds good. Thanks, Tom.
You got it. All right, guys, rate the show, share the show. And with that, I'm out.